Let's turn in God's Word to Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, and we'll be reading the whole chapter. And before we read God's Word, let's pray to the Lord. Gracious Father, again, we are thankful for Your Word. Just as You said in the call of worship, when You called us to hear You, to hearken unto You, You do so in this passage as well. Pray that You would give us ears to hear and eyes to see Jesus, Your Son, that we would grasp hold of Him, cling to Him as He is freely offered unto all of us. You would turn our attention now unto You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 55 and verse 1, these are the words of the living and true God. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for He hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Those are God's words. So we prayed a little bit about a moment ago this week. You remember the pastor we prayed for, or at least one of the pastors we prayed for, who was imprisoned, and he was let go. Praise the Lord for that. A week ago. This week, authorities in Canada placed two fences around that same church so that they could not worship the Lord today and probably for the future. This is that same church we prayed for, and He's gone back preaching, the preacher. They can imprison the pastor and hinder the worship of God, all done against their own laws of that nation of Canada by the health department and police, as they've made that fence around. In China, God's people are being persecuted also, as we often know, and they are being taken from their homes, as we also know, and put in internment camps and being re-indoctrinated with Chinese propaganda, of communist propaganda, and indoctrinated in them also in order that they will blaspheme against Christ. Throughout the history of the church and Christianity, this has been constant. Yet, as the church marches on, the gospel marches on, we have this glorious promise from our Savior to which He has been faithful. He says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, upon Jesus, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." They can put all the fences up they want, but the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus sits on the throne. Never forget that important truth, that Jesus sits on the throne. Not just looking on and doing nothing. He's not a deist God. He's actively involved in everything that's happening. Especially in the church. And as the gospel goes forward, His kingdom expanding. Acts chapter 8. It says, "And Saul..." That's the future Apostle Paul. "And Saul was consenting unto his death." That's Stephen's death. That was the previous chapter. Stephen had been put to death. He was consenting unto Stephen's death. "And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul," that's the future Apostle Paul, "as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." They're persecuted, they're kicked out of their homes because they would have been put to death or they were physically removed from their homes. And what did they do? They kept preaching the Word. Everywhere they went. What kind of people would keep preaching God's Word in the face of such persecution? It's not just the Jews who are persecuting them, the Christians there in Acts 8. Today we have all sorts of people persecuting God's people. Muslims who are doing so against the church of Christ. The Chinese government. Governments are doing this all over the world. Atheists, etc. What you see in these nations, North Korea, China, Sudan, Canada, what you see in these nations, same thing happening in the United Kingdom. What you see in these places and those places is nothing new. Psalm 2, we prayed also, "Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill, Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces with like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." Now, Jesus is still on the throne. He calls not out not only to the rulers of nations and governing authorities, but all peoples He calls out who would come against Him and His enemies. And He says, "Kiss the Son, come unto me." The persecutions of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The prophets, the apostles. All of them, Lord, worked to bring kings and rulers and governing authorities to fall before the Lord Jesus Christ. Or at least used to do so. Even the murderous Saul we just read about, Jesus called him to stop persecuting his people. And you can't disobey Jesus when he calls you in that way. And Jesus saved him. A murderer. From his sins and made him a minister to the Gentiles, of which you are all here today because of him. Because God worked through him. This is what the Lord does. What the Lord Jesus does. This is what our God does. And so in the face of persecution and seeing it more and more, it's getting closer to us more and more. What kind of people would keep on preaching God's word in the face of such persecution, being held before the fire, before the guillotine, before the noose, being held in jail? All of them kept preaching God's word. Our covenant of forefathers at the stake kept preaching God's word. They remained faithful. What kind of people do that? The people who are thoroughly and completely convinced of the truth of Jesus Christ, that He comes and offers Himself freely to all manner of sinful and depraved people like we are, and He offers such dead people as we are eternal life. Forever with Him. That's what He does in the passage before us. What kind of people press on and keep proclaiming the Word of God in the face of persecution? The people who come to Christ freely and believe what Jesus says He says and turn to Him from their sins unto life. Jesus invites you to come unto Him freely. It says verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Freely come. It's emphasized over and over in that verse. If you have no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money. And then he says something extra, which means the same thing, pretty much, without price. There's no cost to this. There's no debt you have to pay later. Freely come. Jesus calling you. If you thirst, he says, not just the Jews, he says all peoples. Remember, this is Isaiah, it's not just the Jews, but all people. Everyone, to the poor, to the weak, to the young, the old, the diseased, the healthy, the blind, come to the marriage supper. Whoever hears in the highways and byways, whoever, come to Christ. Jesus is enough for all and enough for each person. The only people who are excluded from coming are those who exclude themselves by hardening their heart to His call. And this is His call that we hear this morning. Take notice. Who has ears to hear? Let him hear. Everyone that thirsts. Everyone that thirsts, he says. Do you thirst? Do you have a longing? Any longing for something better? Greater from your heart, in your heart? Is there in you a longing to be satisfied? Meaning, you are now dissatisfied. Is there something in you that you want? You know this. If I have this, it will satisfy me. Everybody has that. And that shows you're dissatisfied. Because you're still wanting something to satisfy you. Is there a longing in you for anything? That's thirsting. That's thirsting he speaks of here. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. That's you. That's every single person here. You thirst. He isn't Speaking physically, do you need a drink of water? He's speaking spiritually of your soul. There is in you a longing for something outside of yourself. If you have a longing for something, it's automatically outside of yourself. You have a longing for something outside of yourself. What are you longing for? Whatever you think it is. The Lord says, here is what you're actually longing for. Here is what you actually need. Here is the only thing that will satisfy that longing that you continually have that is never satisfied by anything else. Every single one of you, it is offered to you freely. Freely. You don't have to come up with money for it. You don't have to do something of your strength, by your special wisdom to attain this thing that you long for. He speaks here of waters, wine, milk, verse 2, bread, these spiritual gifts and graces is what he's talking about. Some of you may be thirsting after worldly lusts. And that keeps coming up and you keep struggling with that longing. Things that we've heard often in Ecclesiastes. Worldly vanities. Things that are worthless. Those things are not being spoken of here. The things the Lord is speaking of here are eternal things. Things that last forever are eternal blessings. Not the vanities of this world where you can enjoy them in this life, but then you die. Which means they don't satisfy you. They don't give you life. They don't give you anything. There's no hope after that death that you have. Those things, the things of this life on this earth under the sun, are temporal, not eternal. You can't take them with you. Picture all those people who you've been to a funeral, you've seen the casket, the coffin there, and some of them have open coffins. You go up, you look at their dead body. It's cold. They have to put makeup on them so they look normal. They're not normal. They're dead. It's a lifeless body. People sometimes put things in those coffins. Can't take them. Everything will be destroyed. Rots away. And everybody here knows that. The things here you buy with a cost. Money. Time. Labor. There's a cost to all of them. Everything under the sun. But not what the Lord speaks of here. If you thirst after spiritual things, if you thirst after anything, but if you thirst after spiritual things, if you thirst after eternal things, those things last forever. Blessings and grace and gifts from the Lord, which are the greatest, then if you thirst for them, then come. All of you come to the waters, come to Christ, in other words, freely. He says, and he that hath no money, come, ye buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. It's free, freely offered to all of you. To come to the waters. What waters? What waters? The waters that flow out from the throne in Ezekiel. The living waters of which when you drink you'll be satisfied unlike any water that you might drink here on this earth, and you need more than, and then later you need more again. You walk outside, oh, I need a drink of water, I'm thirsty. It's a hot day in the summer, I need another drink. Thirst never satisfied. Not that kind of water. You drink of this water that he's talking about, these waters, and you'll be satisfied forever. You'll never need anything more than this. He says, come ye to the waters freely. And you say, I want those waters. Give me those waters. The Samaritan woman begged Jesus for these waters, for the same in John 4. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Give me the water so I don't have to keep coming back to the well and draw anymore. The water that will satisfy. Where do I find the waters? Where do I find this living water that is free? To come and buy it freely and drink it. He says, come ye to the waters. Everyone that thirsts, come. Where do I find these waters? You find these waters pouring forth from the rock that was struck. 1 Corinthians 10 reveals it clearer to us than Exodus. Moreover, brethren, I would not have, not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The living waters. Jesus is the living waters. It all pours forth from Him. He's the rock. He's also the living waters. He came, He washed the disciples' feet with water, you remember, and He said, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all, speaking of Judas. All those who come to the waters, to Jesus, only those who come to Christ are washed, cleansed, every single part of your heart and your soul, cleansed. He offers Himself freely without cost. Revelation 21 says, And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There's two things you can take hold of and go after. You can drink from the living waters, or you can keep living whatever life, searching for something to satisfy you out in the world, in which their part is the second death that he described. There are those who come to the living waters. There are those who do not come to the living waters. There are those who come to Jesus freely and those who refuse to come to Jesus, who offers himself freely, but rather continue in their sins and come under the powerful judgment of that second death that burns with fire and brimstone. But all those who come freely to Jesus Christ for eternal life, they drink of this foundation. They drink of the water of life freely, and they live. They live. They alone are satisfied. The Revelation 22, the next chapter, the last chapter of Scripture, he calls again, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. All these, going back to that picture in Ezekiel, the out from the throne, the ark, the mercy seat, the temple, the throne coming, the living the waters flowing out and producing life. Even in the picture is even in the Dead Sea where there's nothing living, even there producing life. And Jesus says, "You drink of these waters, myself, and you will live forever, and that is free to you. He says, come, verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. He offers himself to you freely. He's the bread of life. He's the living waters. Come unto Jesus. He's freely offered to you. And then why do you refuse him? It's free. We're really good at taking free things when they're offered, right? Here he is, freely offered to you. Take of him. Why do you refuse? Why do you keep going to do that which you have to pay for, use money on, and you put yourself in those things, all that you have to keep spending money on, spending time on, laboring on? You keep doing those things, and yet you refuse to come to Jesus, who's freely offered to you? Who won't allow you, if you come to him, he won't allow your body to undergo decay forever, but will raise it up on the last day and give you a new body, and he'll save you from that condemnation, eternal death forever. You won't take of that, and it's free to you? It doesn't make any sense. Worldly things, vain things, futile things, worthless things. You keep putting your time and your energy into those things instead of seeking first the kingdom of God. In the end, those things are what? They're destroyed forever. Why? Why do you keep spending money on bread when right in front of you is Jesus, freely offered? He is Lord and Savior. He's Alpha and Omega, as we just read, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, who was struck. He's the rock who was struck and crucified there on the cross, dying for our sins, all who would come unto Him and believe on Him and drink of Him. And here He's calling you to come unto Him and to come freely and have life. But you keep buying bread that will mold, that you eat with your mouth, in which you produce waste all the more. You move your body a little longer, it does. It helps you move a little longer to do that same process over again, over again, over again. What does that show? It doesn't satisfy. Food that we put into our mouths doesn't satisfy. You work for that, you labor for that, that stuff doesn't satisfy still. And so you keep laboring and you're never satisfied. And the result, in the end, is the same as we've learned in Ecclesiastes, it's death. Why do you do that when Christ offers to you Himself freely? As the one who only can truly satisfy, the only one who can truly satisfy your soul and thereby your body. On this earth, you can satisfy your stomach with food for a time, with that food that you buy, the food that you're even given, the food that you work for. You can also satisfy your mind, let's say with a book. You buy that book, don't you? You need more, so you have to buy another. Water. And you need more, you have to pay for that water. Even though it comes out for the kids, it comes out of the faucet, and yet still costs money. There's nothing in all of the earth and all creation that can truly satisfy. Christ alone satisfies, and He satisfies forever. Jesus calls. He says, hearken diligently unto me. Eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. He's given that language of eating like a king, feasting with a king. That's what we have foreshadowed in the Lord's Supper, in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Delight yourself and delight itself in fatness, your soul. Partake of the pure things, the good things. To tell you a little bit about my family. My wife's family is very diligent on expiration dates when they're in your fridge. Even when you when it says buy date, but purchase by that date, if it's that date, they'll throw it away. To me, that's ridiculous. I will always apply myself, apply the smell test. Does it smell okay? But all that is in Christ never expires. Never fails the smell test. Truth test. Does it satisfy test? Never fails. It is always perfect in every way. Jesus is perfect. His Father is perfect. The Spirit perfect. He says, come ye to the waters. Incline your ear and come unto me here. And your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. The covenant made with David. The forever covenant that came by the mercy of God, the promise, the forever king who would sit on a forever throne, that's Jesus Christ. And he speaks here, come unto me here and your soul shall live by the authority and power and sovereignty of the forever king Jesus Christ, who sits on that forever throne. That's how sure this promise is. He reigns over all. And he says, you come unto me, and it's free. You come unto me, you will be satisfied. You come unto me and drink of me, you will be satisfied. You will be filled. And you'll have life forever in me. The promises are sure. The sure mercies of David, the covenant mercies, are all his mercies. They're purchased by him. They're promised in him. They're treasured up in his hand. And out of his hand, they are dispensed to us. To us who come unto him freely. So come unto him. Acts 13, it says, and we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. That is, no more for his body to return to corruption. He said, on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that's Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Jesus' body, never undergoing corruption, never decaying. We sing that all the time in the Psalms. He's risen, he's alive, he's on the throne. And that's the guarantee that he reigns forever. And the promise to you also is, if you come to the waters, if you come and partake of him, every one of you who thirsted, you come to the waters, he says. Come ye to the waters. Come to Christ freely without price, he says. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. He keeps that promise. He died for that promise. He rose for that promise. And he reigns now to be faithful to that promise. What's keeping you from coming to Jesus? What's keeping you from coming to Jesus Christ? The whole rest of the passage gives us reasons to come to Jesus as he offers himself freely to you. Jesus Christ is the free gift of God. In this way, Christ was given. Verse 4. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people a leader and commander to the people. God delivered His own Son over. The love of God poured out freely upon all who come to Christ. He gave His own Son. Verse 5. It's not just for the Gentiles. Here today, now He's calling all nations, peoples of all nations who are coming, are running to Jesus. There are people from all nations running to Jesus. Verse 5. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for He hath glorified thee. Nations are running to Jesus. Why aren't you running to Him? Why aren't you running to Him? Every step, every day. Christian, even. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Why aren't you coming to Him? He calls us to come to Him freely. It's free. You come. You take it. Take His offer. Take Christ upon yourselves. He's offered freely to you in the preaching of the Word. Why aren't you coming to Him? There's only a short time left when you can. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. He can be found right now. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Call. Call upon Him. Lord, save me from my sins. Turn me from my wicked way. Right? That's verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. That's the promise. He will have mercy upon you. You say, well, I sinned too much. There's too much that I've done against the Lord. I've sinned too much. He will never receive me. He says right here, I will receive you. I will show mercy upon you. I will abundantly pardon all of your sins. Why do you refuse coming to Him then? It's free. He'll show mercy on you. And He will pardon all of your sins. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There's repentance in the verses we just showed in verse 7. He will abundantly pardon. His wicked forsaking his way, the unrighteous man turning from his thoughts, forsaking his thoughts. That's repentance. Verse 8 and 9. We're thinking of that. Repentance and faith shows evidence. If we look up to heaven, we find God's counsels there. They're high, they're transcendent. His thoughts and His ways infinitely above ours. Beyond ours. Here, sinners are called to forsake all their evil ways and thoughts and turn to God. Bring your ways, your thoughts, under captivity to the Lord, and your desires into conformity with the Lord, which is calling you to look where? Not under the sun, keep looking out to this. No, look above the sun. Look unto the Lord. Your ways, your thoughts are earthy, worldly. His ways are way above ours. So set your affections on the things above. That's what one looks like who has come or who does come, who answers this call to come freely to Jesus. You look above the sun, you look unto the Lord, and you think, you dwell on that. His ways, His thoughts, way beyond mine. Your mind, your heart, your desires, your affections, put them on Christ who is above, who is seated on the throne. Verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh bring forth and bud, just like spring right now, right? That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So just as we began, His word is going to keep going on. It's going to keep advancing. His word is going out. It will be successful in its intended purpose, that peoples who are offered freely Jesus Christ will keep coming freely to Jesus Christ. They will come. Think of our evangelism. They will come to Christ. So if you have not come to Christ, you have not come to Him freely as He's offering to you, why aren't you coming? People are coming. People are going to come. And they're going to keep coming unto the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. So why are you not coming? What is it that prevents you from coming and partaking freely of Christ? Because His word goes forth and it does not return void. He says again to you, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. It sounds good. Why won't you come unto Him? Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. That sounds good. Why won't you come unto Him? Verse 12, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. There's joy. There's peace that your soul can have that you don't have if you have not come to Christ. So why would you refuse coming to Him when you and your soul could have joy and peace? Isaiah 44 says, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Bring forth singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified Himself in Israel. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and He that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by itself. If even those creatures, the creation of the Lord, who don't even break forth in praise unto the Lord, even the trees shout for joy. They listen to His word, and they are at His beck and call. And if they shout for joy, how could you not come to Christ in order to shout for joy? If the trees even do it, His creation, why aren't you coming? Those to whom He has given breath formed you in the womb. He promises He's the Redeemer. He will redeem His people, and He will redeem all of His people. Why won't you come unto Him? What is keeping you from coming to Christ? Verse 13. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. If you come unto Christ freely, and you love Him and you cherish Him, then He will certainly deliver you for His glory. He'll never forsake you. He'll never cut you off from the church. He'll never cut you off from His kingdom. Those persecuted in the church know this. That's why they keep preaching. That's why they keep going forth. They keep worshiping. That's why they keep fighting. Because they're seeking first the kingdom of God. And they know it cannot be taken away from them. What's keeping you from Jesus? Nothing is keeping you from Jesus. From coming unto Him. Nothing is keeping you from coming unto Him except yourself. Your pride. Your sin. Your hardness of heart. And here is Almighty God. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Here is He who's given us Jesus Christ freely to you. He's offering Him freely to you. Nothing is stopping you from coming to Jesus but yourself. Would you really want the vanities and the pleasures of this world, which all end in your death and death forever, and give up the free gift of God that's offered to you freely right now so that that guarantees eternal life and blessing and pleasure and forevermore, all that forevermore? Will you give all that up for some food on the table, for some pleasure in life, entertainment. If you do not believe in Jesus and He's calling you to come and to Him freely, and we've seen there's no reason, no logical, biblical, any kind of reason that should say, that you should say in your mind, in your heart, I don't need Him. I don't need to come to Him. Stop making excuses for not coming to Him and come unto Him. Well, do I need to do this in the church? Do I need to do that? No, come unto Him. It's simple. Freely, He says in verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn to the Lord. Just turn to the Lord. Turn to Jesus. And believe on Him. He's offered to you freely. Stop making excuses of why you don't want to, why you haven't. Come unto Him. Come and take hold of Him and love Him, because He loves His children. And He has eternally loved His children. Jesus cries out to all of you, verse 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that He died there on the cross, sacrificing His body, pouring out His blood. He even cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Your wrath that we deserved for all eternity, that could never be satisfied by us, was fully satisfied there on the cross by Jesus Christ. And yet often, whether we're Christians or not, often we would say, and we think to ourselves, we act as though Jesus is not enough. Or we act as though we're enough. And we don't need the Lord. We don't need His sacrifice. We don't need His righteousness. We don't need the fact that He was buried and rose from the dead and now seated on the throne. We don't need an intercessor, a mediator. But that's everything we need. We need everything, and that's Jesus. Jesus is everything, and we come unto you now, Father. We hate our sin. Turn us from our sins, our wicked actions, our wicked thoughts, our wicked desires, and turn us unto your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our life, who is the living waters, the bread of life, the way, the truth, and the life, the resurrection and life, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Alpha, the Omega, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's everything that we need. Prophet, priest, and king. Perfectly. Infinitely. Completely. Help us to live according to this truth. The promises of the gospel. The covenant promises. Christ is offered freely to us. We're thankful for this message from your word. We pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, cause us to come freely and receive such a gift that is unimaginable, amazing, and awesome. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.